friends. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. Welcome to the Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. I'm really excited that you would join me today, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on any of the major podcasting platforms. I want to remind you to make sure you hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes. We usually put them out every other week. If there's ever anything that you want us to cover, whether you have a question, you have a story you want to share on our podcast, or if there's a topic you want us to dig into, let me know. I'm always searching for ideas and wondering what would be most beneficial for our congregation to hear. So if you have an idea, if you have a question or a concern, please let me know. My email address is listed in the show notes, so please check that out and send me an email if you have anything that you want us to talk about. Until I get anything from you, I'm just going to come up with my own ideas. So today, I'm going to discuss something that I was really interested in as I was going through Psalms recently. And I did this as part of a class I was teaching on the book of Psalms for our Grow Hour class on Sunday mornings. But I was also thinking about this as I was going through the book of Psalms more recently in my personal devotions at home. And so today we're going to delve into Psalm 78 because it just has so much to say about the relationship between history and discipleship, which most people maybe wouldn't really think that they were connected, and I certainly didn't think that they were connected either. But it's something that's been more and more on my heart recently in the last couple of years, and how important history is to our discipleship. And that's history on a lot of different levels. That's biblical history, certainly, but also like national history, world history, our personal histories, family history, all those kinds of things are actually a part of discipleship. Now you may be thinking, I don't know about that. Like, where's the connection there? How are these two things really intertwined? Well, that's what we're going to delve into here by looking at Psalm 78. Now, Psalm 78 is a pretty long psalm. I think it's 72 verses. Yeah, 72 verses. So it's not a short one. We're not going to read the entirety of the psalm during this podcast episode. I do encourage you to read it or listen to it on your own time. It's really quite valuable to go into. In essence, what this particular psalm is a history lesson. It's a history lesson, a summary of a lot of the things that the Israelite people went through as they were leaving the bondage of slavery in Egypt and then eventually stepping into the land that they eventually inhabited, the Promised Land, which became Israel in their time and would also be the same land that modern-day Israel covers. And so it's just kind of a summary of those things, but it also creates some interesting links between history and discipleship. So it's something that I just thought was so fascinating, and so I'm just really excited to kind of share a bit about it today, and I hope that it's something that's interesting for you as well. So first, I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and I might stop a couple times and make a couple of comments on the way as we go. So Psalm 78, starting right at the beginning with verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. So let's pause right there. Here, we're seeing from the very start that there has been a generational transfer of information. Right away, the psalmist is saying, we have heard these things from our fathers. This is what we have been told for generations now. This is really important for us to remember. This culture was mostly an oral culture, meaning that they transferred history and information mostly verbally. People would memorize stories. They would memorize pieces of scripture. Not very many people had the capacity to read or write. And so much of what they know is a very active learning process. For us, we're used to teaching history and learning as being very individually driven in the sense that I go to a classroom, I hear some things from a teacher, but then I spend the bulk of my learning time reading on my own and then kind of having either like a paper or a test, having my knowledge tested somehow. That's not how learning happened in the Bible. And that's not to say that the learning I just described about reading things for yourself is bad. There's a lot of value to that. However, in the Bible, what we have this in this knowledge transfer is a very communal type of education that is just very different and almost foreign to most of how we learn today. It's very involved. It takes a lot of intentionality, and it takes a really high level of commitment to transfer this information. So, continuing with verse 4, and this is really crucial. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his powers, and the wonders he has done. And that first part is really key. We will not hide them from our children. We're going to tell our kids all the parts of history, even the hard parts. A lot of times we want to glaze over some of the things in our histories, whether it's our own personal histories or national histories or state history, perhaps, other cultural histories. Sometimes we want to glaze things over and sugarcoat them and make ourselves not look so bad for being the product of a flawed culture. But we are. We are products of a flawed culture. And so here in verse 4, we will not hide them from our children, these things that we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We are not going to hide history. That is so important. The psalmist here is determined to say, we are going to tell our kids the good, the bad, and the ugly of what happened. And that's what the rest of this psalm essentially is. We are not going to hide this. We are going to teach it all. I'm going to continue on in verses, here starting with verse 5. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. So here they're saying, this is a vital part of discipleship. We want these things to continue. We talk about this on the regular. We have these conversations all the time so that these things get really driven into people's heads. I know that there are certain stories that my mom and my dad tell, and I can tell those stories using almost the same words that my parents would use anytime they tell these stories, because I've heard them over and over. The ways that my dad has told certain stories to different people means that because I've heard it so many times, I can pretty much tell it the same way that my dad would tell it. So we need to really repeat and repeat and repeat the stories of who God is and how God has worked in our lives. Continuing on in verse 7, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds but keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to them. So here we're getting a hint that things have not always turned out so well. When there was a breakdown in this transfer of information, in this discipleship, then people start to sin. They start to make the same mistakes that have been made before, and problems start to unfold. So right here, in just these first verses, we're getting this idea that it is extremely important to pass down information. It is an intentional process. It takes a lot of time, but it is valuable because it helps us to not make the same mistakes that other generations in the past have made. It is so vital. And again, we're also getting this idea that as we transfer this information, we're going to share it all, even the hard parts, the parts that depict our ancestors in ways that are not always so rosy. And we'll get into some of that here in the rest of the psalm. So another interesting thing about this first part of the psalm on the first 8 verses is that it's very it has a lot of echoes of something called the Shema, which you see in the first few verses of Deuteronomy 6. We're not going to go right there right now, but it's kind of a mission statement of sorts for the Israelite people of We are going to know that God is one, and so we are going to talk about God on a regular basis. We're going to talk about God when we're walking, when we're sitting, when we're lying down, when we're eating. We're going to put God's word on the doorposts of our home. It's going to be ever present in our lives. That's the attitude we need to have, and that's the attitude that this writer is describing. We need to talk about our histories, because our history is a part of God's word. When it talks about the law here, the writer is referring to Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, which is a lot of history. So when we see law, the word law or decrees in latter portions of the Old Testament outside of those first five books, it's referring to the first five books in their entirety. Not just the moments where God is giving rules. The law includes the entirety of the Israelite history. So, when you see the word law, you also have to think history when you look through the Old Testament. So here is where we're going to get into more summary of Psalm 78. As you look through verses 9 through 16, you start to see passages about how when the people of Israel were in need, God provided for them. God provided miraculously in a variety of ways, dividing the sea, leading them through, having water stand like the wall, describing the Red Sea incident, guiding them with fire and cloud, splitting rocks in the desert and giving them water. So through this, God is providing for them. And despite this, in verse 17, it says, they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? When he struck the water gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us food? Can he supply meat for his people? So early on, we're seeing examples of the people knowing God, seeing the amazing things that God has done, but immediately rejecting him, and then eventually facing the consequences. So here the psalmist, as he gets into verses 9 and on from there, he's talking about God provided, but the people complained. God did these things, but the people made mistakes, and we need to talk about those mistakes so that we today don't make those same mistakes. So that's continuing through, and then when you get to like 17 through verse 40, you get a description of the Israelite people as they were wandering in the desert after they had been liberated from Egypt. There's this period of wandering, and it describes how God rained down manna for them, provided water for them, and then in verse 32 it says, in spite of all this, they kept sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. Pretty harsh, right? The psalmist is saying, they screwed up, and we need to remember this history. The psalmist is saying, this is our history. This is the people that we descended from. We need to do better than this. Here's the mistakes they made. We need to do better. So that's kind of the cycle through 17 through verses 40. Then once you get to, 17 through 39, then when you get through verse 40 through like 55, you get a kind of a rehashing of the plagues in Egypt that helped God initially start the Exodus and get the people out of Egypt. And I want to read a couple of verses of that, starting at verse 40, reading up through, let's go to 43. Verse 40. How often they rebelled against him in the desert and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. Verse 42 there just stands out to me so much. They did not remember. Why would you not remember something like that? Because you're not talking about it. We tend to not remember the things that we don't talk about. I've been thinking about memory recently, and there are some memories that are so vivid in my life because we constantly talk about it. So a big example for many of us that would be listening to this, whenever you've probably heard this dozens of times in the last almost 24 years, where were you on 9/11? Most of us remember exactly where we were because that was such a pivotal moment in the history of our country, especially within the last couple of decades. But we remember that day so vividly because we constantly ask that question, where were you when? And so we rehearse it all the time. And because I tell that story all the time, I remember it. That's how memory happens, by repetition. If the Israelites were not remembering God's power, it probably means they weren't talking about it. They were not doing the work of teaching the people the history of who they were. And then again, we get lists of the consequences that happened to them. But if you're not remembering something, it probably means you're not talking about it. Recently, I had the opportunity to reconnect with a variety of some of my friends at a funeral. And funerals are often places where you share stories of the past. And as we were sharing certain stories, I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot about that. But now I remember, because a story brought it back to mind. The repetition reminds us of things, so we need to hear the stories that formed us and shaped us into the people that we are. They forgot a key part of their discipleship, that repetition and that storytelling. Then verses 56 through 64, it goes into a lot of the consequences that the Israelite people faced when they were putting God to the test. They angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was very angry. He rejected Israel completely. So again, here, the writer is saying, we are not going to shy away from the hard parts of our history. There are hard parts of the history, and we are going to repeat them over and over and over again until we finally get it, until we consistently remember those things. It's absolutely vital that we remember these things. Then in verses 65 through 72, the end of Psalm 78, it gets into how God eventually relents of his own accord against the things and the consequences of the people and what they have done, and provides relief in the form of King David. So that's kind of where Psalm 78 ends. But it's a really, I think, vital psalm in helping us understand discipleship. Discipleship is not simply a matter of biblical literacy. That is important. We should know the story of the Bible. It's a very long story, and it's complicated, and I'm not judging anyone that doesn't feel like they know their Bible trivia very well. I'm constantly being reminded of things, and, oh yeah, I forgot about that, or, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Like, I've read the Bible, but, like, I forgot that part of it. So it's okay. We're not going to remember all of it. We're not going to have all of it at the forefront of our minds. But history is a part of our discipleship. And I would make the argument that the only history that is important in discipleship is not simply what's in the Bible. The history that we need in our discipleship is the broader history of what creates the spiritual climate that we are currently living in. So for us, as Christians today, certainly, we need to know biblical history because it's a vital part of our faith. That's why it's captured in Scripture. That's why we put it in such high value. But we also need to understand the spiritual climate of 2025 America. How did we get here? What's the history of our nation? What are the hard parts of history that we have in our nation? What are the ways that God has worked in the history of our nation? Or in your family? A lot of us have family histories that aren't so ideal. There's a lot of secrets up in those family trees sometimes. We need to know those so that we can learn from the mistakes of the past. There's a saying that history often repeats itself. Some argue that that is true or not true. I think the phrase that I've heard that is maybe a little bit better and a little bit more nuanced is history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And that's what Psalm 78 is about. When you know history, you're less likely to make the same mistakes and make history rhyme all over again. Usually when history does rhyme, it's because we're missing something and we're forgetting that when certain things are going in a certain direction, they usually have a pretty similar result. We don't want to go down those roads again. When we know history, we're less likely to repeat the mistakes of the past. That's why history is such a vital part of discipleship. So again, we need to know not just biblical history, but also the history of what leads us to where we're at today. History is a vital part of discipleship. I hope that's something that resonates with you. And if you want to argue about it or maybe offer a different perspective about it, I'd love to hear that. There may be more nuances to this that we can discuss. And so if there's something that you'd like to push a little further, delve a little deeper into, please do so. Again, my email address is listed in the show notes. Please make use of that. I would love to have a wider conversation about this. I'd also like to say that last summer I did a podcast series, I think 7 episodes, 8 episodes, about church history and really delved into the history of the church over 2,000 years. It's a very, very condensed account of church history because, I mean, that's 2,000 years worth of history, so that's a lot. But if you're looking for something to give a little bit more context of where we are today and want that for your personal discipleship, those episodes are in our episode library. Please check that out. So, that's a lot. Psalm 78, it's really good stuff. I really encourage you to read it or listen to it on your own time and just really think about those connections between history and discipleship. Thank you so much for watching or for listening. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.